There we go. First lesson of faith, how to turn on the microphone. There we go. Well, like Pastor Steve said, my name is Andrew. If I have not met you already, I've met so many here at Faith and so many wonderful experiences already, and I just can't express how deeply honored and humbled I am to be standing in front of you, to be considered for this role, to step into just an incredible legacy here at Faith. The thought of that really, really deeply moves me. And as Pastor Steve says, this is a discerning weekend. And so this morning, a couple weeks ago, I was praying and felt like the Lord just put this scripture on my heart to present to you an encouragement to discern as a community and a congregation this significant milestone in your church. But also, it is a call and an encouragement for us to discern how we are to respond in our Christian walk and faith towards Christ. And the analogy that's given in this text is the analogy of running. Just yesterday, I had the chance to see some participating in the Bill Snyder Half Marathon. Anyone run that yesterday? Anybody? No, a couple of you. Well done. Well done. You know, running has been a significant part of my life, our family's story. I have a love-hate relationship with running. I love how I feel after I've run, but I hate getting going and doing it. But I have been a runner throughout my whole life. And so about a decade ago, I had this crazy idea of trying to raise some money for missions. I said, got a group of friends together and said, what would happen if we ran 100 miles in 4 days? And there was a group of 15 of us that said, hey, we're in. And so we ran from our church in Minnesota to the border of Wisconsin, Minnesota, and back, which was 100 miles, to raise money for refugees on the border of Thailand and Burma. And it was a ton of fun. It was a ton of work. And my wife said, that sounds fun. And so she raised her hand the next year, and she got a group of friends together. And she did a five-day, 100-mile run to raise money to combat human trafficking in Nepal. And so then we started this Year of Andrew, Year of Rachel. And so the very next year, I did a Ironman, full triathlon race out in Tempe, Arizona. It was a ton of fun. And then we realized as the kids were getting older, we can't sustain this anymore. And our full-time job is now running after kids. And so there is the crew behind me there. They met a whole lot of people after first service. They said, Dad, we need a break. So they're going to meet you after the service in the lobby. I've got a couple runners in the kids' family, or from my kids as well. You know, running's a big deal here in the United States. Roughly 30 million Americans would declare themselves as runners. There's roughly 570 marathons in the U.S., which 500,000 people finished a marathon, the oldest being over 100 years old. One guy by the name of Ron Hill ran 1 mile every day for 52 years and 39 days. Another guy by the name of Dean Karnesis ran 350 miles nonstop in 80 hours without sleep. He said about that experience later, he said, there's a fine line between a hobby and a mental illness, and many runners have crossed it. But if you're a runner, you understand this, the movement of the scenery, the succinct rhythm and motion of your body, the feeling of the end of completion, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And what Hebrews invites us into is to recognize that all of us are running a race. And so the question that lies before us this morning is, how well are you running today? We're all running a race in life. Some of us are just at the beginning. The kids that are in the room, you're just starting your race, and that's a beautiful thing. And some of you, you're nearing the end of your race. But Hebrews isn't just talking about a race of life. It's talking about a very specific type of race, a spiritual race. And this morning, I wanted to encourage you to run this race well. Maybe you're here this morning, and if you were to evaluate the condition of your soul or of your faith, you say, you know, I've been kind of discouraged. Feel like I've kind of stopped running. I'm taking a break right now. I want to give you some encouragement of how to run this race, this spiritual race, well. To be able to understand this, I think we first need to understand the difference of the type of running that we're doing. Hebrews says, run with perseverance or run with endurance. Well, what type of running are we doing? There's a lot of ways that you can run. One of the ways that you can run is on a treadmill, if you've ever had that experience before. Treadmill running is very different than race running. When you run on a treadmill, you can read a book, you can open up a magazine, you can throw your earbuds in, and you can just go without really paying attention to what you're doing. Treadmill running, it can be great. It's for exercise, but it's very different than running a race. And I would say for many, many Christians, as we approach our faith walk and the participation in faith, it can kind of be like treadmill running. Maybe you show up this morning and you come to church because that's what you're supposed to do, go to church. Or you read your Bible because you're supposed to read your Bible. Or you pray or you give. And we can participate in a number of different activities that are good and healthy spiritual exercises for our soul. But Hebrews says that we're not just running. Paul says we're not just beating the air. There's a very specific purpose to the race that we're called to run. U.S. Olympian Patty Sue Palmer says that racing teaches us to challenge ourselves. It teaches us to push beyond what we thought we could go. It helps us find out what we're made of. This is what we do. This is what we're all about. And Hebrews is telling us that this is the mentality that we are to take in our Christian walk, that we are running this race. It's the greatest race of your life. Are you even aware that you're running it? Hebrews says, let us run with endurance this race marked out for us. God's marked out your race. Isn't that an encouraging thought? That he has a specific race that is marked out for you, that your life, it's not just a series of random spiritual exercises until you get to heaven. No, God has a course that he marked out specifically for your life. And so let's lean in to this idea of the course that God has marked out for us. In every course, in every race, there's a starting point. And here in our Christian walk, there's a starting point to our lives as well. So to be a Christian is to leave and to go from an old way of life. Whether you became a Christian at a very young age like I did, or later in life, there is a starting point to your faith where you realize and recognize the love that God has for you, that you are saved by grace and grace alone, and this is the starting point. And you begin to run that race along a course. And you're really running from something. And this is what Hebrews says in verse 1. Because we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, these people who have run this race so very well, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. We're running from something. We're running away from something. And I'm not sure if we always understand this, that in our walk of faith, it's not like we are just on that treadmill, but we're actually moving away from a trajectory of a life that which we once held. And Hebrews says we do this in two ways. One, every weight that lays upon us. When I was in high school, I ran the mile and the 2 mile, and then my senior year ran the 800, and I would oftentimes run against the conference champion runner, and he was known for his crazy training tactics. He would go out on 10 or 12 mile runs. He would have a backpack on him, and he would load it up with weights to go out into these long distance runs, so that on race day, when he took off the backpack and he put on his track cleats, he was free and alive and ready to run in a way that he wouldn't have been able to do when he was training. This is what Hebrews tells us. Take off the backpack. Well, what is the backpack? What are the things that weigh upon our lives? I believe that they are any non-essential responsibilities that we take on in our lives. They can be the distractions that takes our focus away from a life of Christ. They are responsibilities that we take on maybe in pursuit, competing with our life with Christ. And he says, lay aside those weights. And he says, also the sin which clings so closely. In the first century, this comment would have made sense because a cloak or an oriental garment would be wrapped around the legs of a person. And so when that person would try to run, it would inhibit their leg motion. They wouldn't be able to run freely. And the writer is saying that this is like our sin in our lives. It's sin that stands well. It's sin that holds on to us, that trips us up from moving towards God. See, sin is oftentimes in lives of those things that we want to do and do versus the things that God tells us to do explicitly through his word or the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the question that I've wrestled with in this text is, why does sin trip us up? Or why does it hold on to us? Why does it inhibit good race running? And I believe it's this, is that when we have this type of sin in our lives, that garment around us, we are covering ourselves up, we are hiding ourselves in shame against God, against other, maybe even against ourselves, and saying, I'm hiding in this place where maybe there's something wrong about me and I don't really want to deal with it, so I'm just going to cover myself up. But Hebrews is saying that as Christians, we live a different type of life. We take off the garment. And what this means for us is that we have the freedom to run in the Christian life. We know this from the book of Romans, where Paul talks about how we are justified in our faith. God sees us just as if we have not sinned because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his perfect life. So we can throw off the garment. We don't need to be fixated on our sin. We don't need to be fixated on the things that we do or don't do. We keep our eyes focused and fixed on who we are and who God has called us to be through Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses is from 1 Timothy 6:11. This is a passage of scripture that for about a six-month period, I would just pray over and over every single morning over myself, over my kids, over my family. And Paul commends his young pastor Timothy in this way. He says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee from these things." Or in another translation, it says, "Timothy, you are a man of God, so run from all of these evil things." Now, there's two ideas in this text. The one is that Paul is saying, "Timothy, I want you to recognize who you truly are, that you are a man of God. You are a, or for the women in this room today, you are women of God, that you are children of God. And if you understand that and what that means, it gives you the capacity to be free from this sin that so easily entangles us. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I am created in God's image. And so in light of that, I don't need to allow this other distraction in my life to trip me up anymore. I'm free from that. God has given me power over that in my life. And so to be reminded of my core identity of who I am and who God has called me to be in Christ Jesus, it gives me the capacity to run away from those evil things, to run away from the sin that so clings to us so tightly. So part of our race running is that we are running from something. We're at a starting point. We're moving on this path that God has for us. But not only are we running from, we're also running to. We're running to a finish line. And this is what Hebrews says in verse 2. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." Now, if you've been a Christian for a number of years, I know this sounds very, very basic, but I believe that sometimes we need to be reminded of the most simple truths in order to get through the most difficult moments. When it says that Jesus is the author and the perfecter, it means that he's the captain, he's the leader, he's the first inventor. Jesus is the one who first started at the starting line, and he finished at the finish line, and he's run this race better than anyone who has ever run this race. And so if we're to think about our spiritual lives and this race that God has called us to run and the race that is marked out for us, what Hebrews is saying is that we look to the one who's done the race in the most significant and the best way possible. Going back to high school, my senior year, it was at the state track meet. I was running the 800-meter run. And I was really excited to be participating in this race with a field of excellent athletes, but there was one athlete there that was better than all of the rest. His name was Chris Selinsky. He would break the state record in multiple events and would go on to be an NCAA champion multiple times, was right on the cusp of being an Olympic runner. And so as I got to the starting line of the 800-meter run at the state finals, I realized that not everybody is looking at me. Not everyone's looking at the field. Every eye was on Chris Selinsky. When he would go down to tie his shoe, we would all tie our shoes to make sure that they were good. When he would take a sip of water, we'd all grab our water bottles and, you know, take a sip of water. All eyes were on Chris Selinsky. Why? Because he would run that race better than any of us could have run it. And any little hint, any little way, any advantage that we could gain from watching him, our eyes were attuned and fixed on that great runner. This is what Hebrews is telling us about Jesus. That we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus because he has run this race better than any of us could have the capacity to do so. And he shows us how to run this race well. So then the question becomes this. How did Jesus run this spiritual race that he ran? What were the characteristics of the life of Jesus and the way that he ran? And I'll give you three of them that have been significant and instrumental to my faith journey. The first one is that Jesus was faithful. In John 6:38, he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus recognized that the defining factor of his life was faithfulness to the work of God. Every single day, he said, "My bread, my food, what gives me life and sustenance is to do the will of God." And when we get to heaven, I just believe this. I believe that we'll begin to see in reality and shocked by the powerful ways that God has used one small conversation, one encouragement, one act of courageous, loving kindness. See, this is what it means to live a faithful life, that we don't carry too much responsibility for our own Christian lives, but we simply respond to the way that God requires. And I believe that God can do more through a few small acts of faithfulness than 10,000 years on our own effort. All right, this is what Jesus says in Matthew 25. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." This is how Jesus and God the Father sees a race run well, a life of daily faithfulness. Here's the second characteristic of Jesus' race running, and it's a life of fruitfulness. John 17:4, he says, "I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." So not only was Jesus faithful, but in completing the work, there began to be fruit that was generated out of his faithfulness. And again, when you look at the type of fruit that Jesus demonstrated out of his life, what he was really doing when he interacted with people and he had conversation with people, it was the character of God that was coming out of his heart. He was merciful and kind to sinners. He loved those who cursed him. Right? This is the characteristic of God. It was the fruitful characteristic of the Holy Spirit coming out and through Jesus' life that did what? That produced transformational fruit in the lives of other people as well. And so it is with his followers that we're called to live this life of fruitfulness. I said yesterday in the congregational meeting, I said, I'd love preaching on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I love preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, because if we understand what it means to have our character formed in the way of Jesus, the fruit that God can produce out of our lives is absolutely extraordinary. So Jesus, not only was he faithful, not only was he fruitful, but he was filled with joy. Take a look at verse 2 from Hebrews 12. "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." Now, this is different from the ways in which I would oftentimes run races. I would get to the starting line thinking about my race, whether it was the mile or the 2 mile or the 800. And I wouldn't necessarily think I want to do good, or, you know, I would perform or not perform. I was oftentimes thinking, this is going to hurt a lot. It would almost lead me to the place of wanting to throw up, right? This is going to be extraordinarily painful. But this wasn't the life of Jesus. He wasn't fixated on the pain of the cross. It says it was for the joy that was set before him. He endured it. In other words, Jesus had a bigger picture to his life and this race that God was calling him to run. And in light of this bigger picture, it filled even the painful, discouraging moments of his life with an incredible amount of joy. Jesus was filled with joy because he was in the will of the Father. He says that God is even going to redeem this painful moment. God is even going to redeem this rejection from my closest friends for his glory, and this filled him with joy. And so too, I think as followers of Jesus who are running this spiritual race well, we are called to be people that look at the bigger picture of what God is doing and get wrapped up into the sense of God's joy and delight, even in the difficult moments of our race that we face. A number of years ago, I was asked this question, Andrew, how do you see success in life? And for many, many years, I loved to accomplish a PR time in running, or you know, to get a school record, or to accomplish, you know, a feat, to check something off of a list. But when we look at the life of Jesus and the race that he ran, he was faithful, he was fruitful, and he was filled with joy. And what I've come to believe in the bottom of my heart is that to run a race well is to model these characteristics of Jesus, is that when I go to bed at night and my head hits the pillow and I'll evaluate my day, and I say, God, was I faithful to the things that you were calling me to attend to and be faithful to? God, was I fruitful in the way of my conversations and my attitudes and responding in the way that you have asked me to respond to people? And was I filled with the sense of joy and delight that, God, you were going before me and you were ahead of me and you were marking out this race and I get to join you in this great story, even in the times that it's difficult? If I have a day like that, it was successful. It was a race that was run well. And so too with you. If you want to know how to run a race well, it's very, very simple. Be faithful, be fruitful, and be filled with joy. Be faithful, be fruitful, be filled with joy. Day in and day out, you begin running down this course that God has marked out for you, and you get to join in this great cloud of witnesses. What I love about Hebrews 11, they call it the Hall of Faith chapter, and they celebrate all of these giants of faith in the Old Testament. If you were to go back to the moments right before those great events took place and you told them what was about to take place, they wouldn't have believed you. And yet, they're now joined in this great cloud, this heavenly host of stories of faith and faithfulness. Why? Because they made the decision to wake up and say, we're going to respond in the faithfulness of God today. We are going to respond in godly character and kingdom mindsets, and we'll be filled with joy because God is leading us along the way. So that's your individual encouragement, but I want to end the message this morning really encouraging you as a congregation, because if we look at the context of this verse, it is a very sense of a plural us. This let us run this race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. There is individual application to this passage, but is really written more to a congregation and a community of Jesus followers. That as we run this race as individuals, collectively, God is doing a work in a community. And again, this is where I invite you into this discerning process where you are with your next lead pastor. I don't want to convince you of anything. I want the Holy Spirit to convince you of what God is at work, how God is charting out the race for faith to run and to run well. And the conviction that I have in ministry, that the times that I have just been blessed to participate in a great work of God, I oftentimes haven't been the one that's been at the starting line. In fact, some of my favorite races were relay races where I'd maybe be the third or fourth leg, when I'd be the guy that would be standing there waiting for the baton and picking up the baton. But our place in the race at that moment of grabbing the baton was only because there was other people that had run faithfully and run well. And this is the position you are at as a church. And it's one of the reasons why I was drawn to this role here at Faith, is because you've done a great job extending a baton to a leader to continue the pathway, this path that God has marked out for your church. And so I invite you to discern that for you as a community. As my family and I have prayed and to discern this as well, and the hope and the prayer and the excitement and the joy is that God is continuing to mark out this race for this beautiful church. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, God, and these beautiful words. These words that call us to refocus our attention upon Jesus. And so, Lord, in this moment, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would bring to our attention weight and responsibilities that aren't ours to bear, that have been weighing down this race that you have called us to run. Maybe there's sin that is being called to mind right now. And just through the work of the Holy Spirit, that you would just, that we as a congregation would just lay those things down before you. And again, that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who has run this race the best, the one who is faithful, the one who is fruitful, the one who is filled with joy. And may we too enter into the characteristics of that race running so that, Lord, we can continue and complete this race marked out for us as individuals and as a community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. Since I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
You may be seated. Hey, kids, it's been great to have you in here with us today. You did a great job. Andrew, great to hear from you today. Wanted to just, Steve had a chance to say a couple words, and I wanted to as well. You know, as I've reflected on this transition, I've been in full-time ministry for 38 years, and kind of my person I report to, my leader, my director, has always been older than me. And